The exhibit's concentrated in the main lobby this afternoon, filled with students cramming for finals. Bobby C. Martin, a printmaking instructor at John Brown University in Siloam Springs, co-curated the exhibit.
A Native Creek artist, one-quarter Muscogee tribe member. I live in Tahlequah, Oklahoma. The organization that I'm involved with now is called the Southeastern Indian Artists Association, formerly called the Cherokee Artists Association.
50 professional and amateur Cherokee, Choctaw, Chickasaw, Seminole Creek, or Muscogee painters, potters, basket makers, printmakers, jewelers, weavers, photographers, and sculptors make up the association. The group is patterned after the Southwestern Association for Indian Arts, which hosts a huge market in Santa Fe every fall.
Some of the distinctives about the Southeastern Indian tribal arts are many ways symbology is fairly specific to the Southeastern tribes, as far as a lot of it's tracked back to the mound builders culture, where there's different symbols and iconography even that's distinctive to the Southeastern tribes. One of the things we're trying to do with this group is try and promote Southeastern art, which are not quite as well known.
This collection is far from traditional, beginning with Tony Tiger, a Sac and Fox and Muscogee tribal painter. His large abstract expressionist paintings are like peering through darkened stained glass windows.
Currently, right now, he is the art director at Bacone College, which is in Muscogee, Oklahoma. Bacone has an incredible history of Native art. Many of the very well-known, especially Southeastern area artists, A.C. Blue Eagle, Woody Crumbo, Dick West, some of the names that are really familiar to Native in the Native art history canon, were either attended Bacone or led the department. So Tony's kind of following in a pretty long and storied tradition.
On the other side of the circulation desk hangs several digital graphic prints, one of a Kellogg's Corn Flakes box titled Uktina in the Morning by Jeff Edwards.
A Cherokee tribal member. Jeff is an artist that works mostly digital. Everything I've seen of him is digital work, but he kind of sort of got a pop art sensibility. He likes to combine consumer commodity images, but mix them in with like syllabary, Cherokee language.
Uktina is a mythic horned serpent whose breath is so foul and presence so blazing and hypnotic, any warrior said to kill it was considered shamanic. The other digital print is a play on the famous late New York street artist Keith Haring, a thick yellow stick figure striding across the paper, wearing a feather headdress surrounded by angry red fists. That's the logo of the once powerful American Indian movement. In Caddy Corner from It hangs a very large oil on canvas by Bobby C. Martin, our curator and spokesperson.
The painting we're looking at here is called Ruby and the Grandbabies. It's actually from an old family photograph that are my first cousins and their grandmother. I've used family photographs for probably nearly 20 years now, and because what I do with these old photos is underlay or overlay or layer different kinds of textual material like scripture. I use scripture a lot because that's being a Christian, that's very important to me.
Martin's paintings contain dreamy, old-timey atmospheres long dissipated. Ruby and the children stand in front of an ancient pickup, all rendered in soft sepias and umbers, beneath a pale turquoise sky. Behind them, as if murmuring, float patterns, numbers, and scriptural verse in light gray.
And then maybe the more political statement and the identity statement is I use a lot of, she was also one of the original allottees, allotment in the Dawes rolls.
Circa 1800, the so-called five civilized eastern tribes, Creek, Cherokee, Chickasaw, Choctaw, and Seminole, adopted European ways in order to assimilate, including intermarriage. Eventually, all were forcibly relocated to new tribal lands in Indian Territory, what's now known as Oklahoma, to discourage communal traditions, a federal government divided territory lands into allotments, arbitrated by Senator Henry Dawes. Those who could prove their native bloodline were placed on a Dawes roll and given a 160-acre parcel. Many, never having been landholders, lost their parcels, selling it off to survive. Bobby Martin's transposition of Dawes Roll's numerics in his paintings is a quiet critique of that policy.
The numbers and names are sort of the government's stamp, you know, the identity that they're saying, you know, you have to be able to prove that you're an Indian because your name or your somebody in your family name is on this roll.
Martin, who's one quarter Muscogee Creek, described the rest of his identity as mutt, an amalgam of German, Scotch, and Irish, which he disregards. We walk past one of two three-dimensional works by Troy Jackson titled Half-Breed, Putting Pieces of My Heritage Together, of a male figure reaching towards the sky covered in red ochre clay puzzle pieces. Across the hall, near stacks of atlases, hangs the digital mixed media art of Roy Boney.
Roy Boney Jr. is Cherokee descent. He's actually full-blood Cherokee, one of the few these days. He's really big into cartooning. He's actually had a graphic novel published, so he's a wonderful draftsman, but he really likes to play around with the idea of popular culture and mixing it with native themes. And so this one here you see, it's called Sempkwaya. It's Sequoia, who invented this Cherokee syllabary, but he looks a whole lot like Homer Simpson.
Another twisted set of work hangs by the photocopiers by Joseph Erb, thick acrylic paintings of warriors battling white Star Wars characters on a barren landscape titled Mixed Blood.
Joseph Erb is a Cherokee Nation tribal member. He takes traditional ideas and traditional myths and re-outfits them in modern clothing. He's got Katua warriors battling the Star Wars stormtroopers.
And down the row, over in the corner, hang two ampersand neoclassical works by Sharon Urla, two portraits of beautiful modern Indian women.
Cherokee artist. She uses a lot of traditional patterns and designs in her paintings, but and even the frames. In this particular one, the crow stirring the magic, some of the design in the frame itself are Cherokee and Southeastern motifs.
Erla's images have a metaphysical element, as if projecting forward to a new mystical awareness of self. We end with a photo intaglio print by Bobby Martin, our co-curator, a black ink etching on rag paper titled Aunt Kate Combs. She's on break from cooking at a church camp kitchen, pensively smoking her pipe, shoulders slumped. The exhibition is a rare opportunity to see some of the best contemporary Southeastern American Indian art. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.